Good morning. Today is Wednesday, January the 10th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
New year, new attitude, right?
Yeah. Well, happy new year to you. New. I don't know if it's a new attitude or a reinvigorated attitude or whatever it is, but
or a commitment to your attitude. Yeah.
I think we all have, you know, give it a few moments anyhow to think about. Could we do something different? Just keep doing the same thing? What are we going to do?
Oh, you mean reflection?
Reflection, exactly.
Wow. here's a cool quote. Kristen Morgenstern. Home is not where you live, but it's where they understand you.
Oh.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I like that one. That's good.
Oh, boy. So what was exciting yesterday that took up everybody's time in the chambers?
Actually, a couple of things took up more time than anticipated. One of them was an item that had been on the consent calendar was a letter regarding the Sites Reservoir in Maxwell. And this is something
Maxwell, like Maxwell Air Force Base?
No. Just north of Williams?
Okay. No, that's not where the Air Force Base is.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm thinking.
So you guys
anyway,
had something?
See what you're saying? I mean, very few people are even aware of this, but this is actually quite a large project to store water and looking for funds from Proposition 1. But there was Supervisor Wilson brought forward a letter. Actually, I think Supervisor Sundberg also co-signed on this, the idea of sending a letter objecting to funding for the project. However, Supervisor Bone pulled it and had done some research, and I'd done some myself, looked at the letter we were planning to send, which was pretty aggressively against the project. I didn't feel that was appropriate. I felt that any way that we can look at storage of water that doesn't impact concerns that we have, why would we be chiming in?
That would be kind of be my question. Well, if it's water capacity, and we've mm-hmm. had issues with water capacity recently.
So, and this is basically
why
for
do
the
they
other,
flare out?
Yeah, and this is basically across the mountains. So the concern was that might it impact the Trinity. So what happened is that
staff... But it's in Anderson, right? It's south of... The Trinity watershed.
Yeah. So what the idea was then, anyhow, okay, let's look at this and see what actually is our interest in this. And our main interest would be, would it take anything from the Trinity? So we, Hank Seaman, actually penned a letter that was very good and made that very clear. And also Supervisor Bone interfaced with the agency in charge of that, the JPA, and we had a representative of that agency at the meeting, and he clarified what the situation is. So we did send a letter basically saying, you know, we want to be sure that you are aware that we have concerns about taking any water or money from the Trinity. But otherwise, we're not objecting. So, and I think the concept that they're putting forward is actually fairly new. It's not a dam. What it is it's a taking water. It's an off the Sacramento River. It's off to the side. Well, when there is extra water in the winter, when there's a lot of rain, you store it for later. And so that's kind of the idea.
And there was concern that the overflow during the winter, when it's in the flood season and there's surplus and it's going into the San Francisco Bay, would be set aside as an if necessary?
In some parts, not at the level of the board. So the board did not support the original letter, but we did put a letter, and we were encouraged by the JPA to put that kind of, you know, memorialize our interest in the Trinity.
So did all five go for that, or was it?
Yeah, we all did eventually.
I would imagine, for most of the folks listening, that you've given us all a pretty significant gut check. we were going to send off a letter with attitude, and nobody knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. But
yeah,
that
was my concern.
How often does that happen?
That was my concern. I mean, the letter was, you know, and again, Supervisor Wilson, to be fair, you know, pointed out, well, basically, we were just putting something out there to bring this concern forward. My concern when I read the letter was this is overly legalistic.
And it wouldn't have been as a consent.
And
it would have been an agenda item.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's the thing that I think
that's the concern.
Yeah,
and sneak it through. What's good about that is you do have to do your homework, and you do have to look at the agenda, you know, way prior to the meeting, as we all get to see it on Friday, just as the public does. And get an idea of what is on the consent agenda. I look at that very carefully these days because there are a lot of issues on there. And so what you can do then is you can pull it. And for discussion, that's what we did. So that actually took quite a bit of the time that had not been anticipated because we also had another very large item on there.
So have you seen in the... you sound old. In the years that you've been on the board,
I know
a trend
not only do
for
I sound old.
For an expansion of the consent items. I mean, is that becoming kind of the trendy thing? And let's just do a pound there and not have too much in the regular session. We all voted, have no discussion, and we get our way.
I think it goes up and down. A lot of times there will be quite a large consent agenda, and it's really just, you know, the workings of government. This
normal is...
Exactly.
Is
you
normal,
don't want everything being discussed every time, but still, you got to pay attention.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the concept of consent calendar, I know, is rooted in the theory of trying to increase government efficiency.
Yeah.
And I think everybody gets it. You know, the nuts and the bolts and the dandy. It's right up there with proclamations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pretty much a snoozer for anybody. I mean, I know it's a nice chance for you guys to pat somebody on the head and say, job well done, and, you know, mm-hmm. this event's coming up in that one. So it's kind of the good guy stuff. But it's not really the mechanics of government like so much of the consent mm-hmm. is. How do you avoid having the mechanics of that you guys have to just formally sign mm-hmm. off on as routine versus what you were talking about, a letter of recommendation, a letter of opposition, those types of things that... I guess the process is consent, but the essence of it certainly isn't.
Well, I think the way what you do is what we're just talking about in the first segment, which is pay attention, you know. So a lot of the consent agenda is the workings of government, and sometimes I wish, you know, being somebody who's really... deeply involved in my job, I wish that we could sit around all day and talk about everything we're doing, but we can't because we got to do it, you know. And so, for instance, a lot of times on the consent agenda, you'll have the final sign off on something that we've already discussed over a couple of meetings, and this is just, you know, it's got to be finalized within 30 days. So within 30 days, it comes back on the consent agenda, and that's all good and well. A lot of
do you get interpretation of that stuff? Will council or the CAO say, okay, guys, on today's consent calendar,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's more legal, on the consent items. Mm-hmm. We've got this, which is revisiting of that.
Yeah.
And kind of walk you through each of the items?
Yeah, yeah. That's it. That is actually written in on each of the, agenda items in the packet. That's the introduction, the staff introduction. And on a lot of items that come before us, obviously, we already have the county council, CAO, look through it before it comes before us. Occasionally you'll have something like what we were discussing earlier, where a supervisor will bring something forward that hasn't been reviewed by anybody,
But those don't tend to go into consent, though, do they?
They don't usually tend to go into consent. I mean, a lot of times there will be items, say, for instance, informational items. If it's my call to appoint somebody to a commission, I'll put an informational item in there saying, I've appointed Brian to this commission. And
fear spreads rapidly through the entire organization.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, okay.
So,
but it's pretty just normal. Well, almost an advisory.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
This is an action.
Yeah,
item.
Right. Okay. And as you said, there are ceremonial type things, you know, and those are significant. I mean, for people who've done a lot of work that are good in the community to get a proclamation, that's significant to them and to us.
But not confrontational,
or it's not anything that needs any major discussion. It's just something where we would like to honor someone. And sometimes we'll even pull something like that from the consent. We used to have a lot of these proclamations as part of the full meeting, but now they tend to find their way in there. And if we want to pull it for, you know, discussion, we can. And actually, an interesting point came up now that we're discussing it. I didn't know we were going down this road, but one of the attendees at the meeting yesterday said, well, I'm glad you're having a comment on the consent agenda. We've always allowed for that. So the consent agenda is the first item on the agenda. It's open for comment. Lots of times people don't comment on it because they go through it and there's nothing to comment on. But in this particular case, there was another item that got pulled, just not really pulled, but was discussed as part of the consent calendar, was Greg Bickle's retirement and proclamation honoring him for them. The sheriff was there. We talked about it. So everything's open for discussion. But again, being on the consent, a lot of times it'll just go right on through.
Just because there's really no need for...
Well, there's a lot. And, you know,
and the time factor could be...
Yeah. And speaking of the time, you asked me how, you know, we had that. We had a presentation also on the Salt River Project, which was a good kind of getting us up to speed on that.
Coming along. I know that was one of Jimmy Smith's big bigs, and we get updates all the time. And you go out, you know, you drive by and you see, and you can see a little something going on, and okay, thumbs up. But, you know,
it seems to be moving along quite well, actually. And in fact, given the kind of winter we've had, we could look at the heavy rain that came early on, actually even before official winter, and see that some of the areas that used to flood didn't flood. So that's good. It's not finished yet. It's very labor intensive, and it's all got to be done right. And you can't anymore just take silt out and dump it by the side of the river. You've got to find somewhere to put it, and it's got to be used appropriately. So all of those things are very complex. However, it is moving forward, and it was nice to get an update. And then another.
So you experienced Jimmy's frustrations also.
Well, poor Jimmy. Well, you know, there was one dedicated man who knew, you know, was looking at the big picture and said, "We got to do something about."
Well, and
this.
You know, a river is a river.
Yeah.
It's not just a little depression in the pasture.
No.
I mean, you know.
She showed, the gal who, Jill Deemer, showed the pictures from, you know, the beginning of the last century and last year.
A little
very
bit of
different.
A change, yes.
Very
different. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, and by Lolita Cheese Factory. Estelle got the new flight.
Oh, yeah.
To LAX.
Yes.
Relief or excitement? Which one's a better descriptor for you?
Well, I don't know that I'm excited, but I'm very happy. Okay. I just don't know. I will say that I believe and trust that this will bring more flight, more people into Humboldt, and more people using the airport. I mean, and that's kind of a no-brainer. You know, there are definitely people who are going to go to L.A. and people
I think that's what you're going to get is going to L.A. direct,
yeah,
which will loosen up flying into San Francisco.
Exactly.
I don't know, you know, 50 seats, I'm not sure if that's enough to be able to even move the needle at all from people in L.A. wanting to come up and do the weekend getaway kind of thing.
If my hope and prayer is that they have enough so that they don't have to dip into the $500,000 from Fly Humboldt.
Now, that's the guarantee side. Is the one to San Francisco guaranteed also?
I think that that's already gone, you know, proved itself. Yeah.
So that shift would be...
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, don't... Say Estelle said this and it's all wrong.
I'll wait for Foster to get
it. Cross examine Greg. No, but I think honestly,
is a good. We're having a lively discussion. This is no cross examination.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's a lovely one. I look forward to it. I look forward to him, Brian. I really do. No, but honestly, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. This stage is pretty stable. Let's see if it will do something. Personally, I think that it's good that we have more use of the airport, and hopefully we'll have some more people from LA, like the film people. I think Cassandra was probably pretty happy to hear this, because that's a selling point you can make in terms of getting film crews up here. You know, they're not going to drive all the way from LA, but they might fly. So
just to have more connectivity.
Yeah, I mean, more connectivity and more business even between here and LA. So, yeah, I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic that it will give us a bump, and appreciate all the work that's gone into it. And now if we could get a flight to Sacramento, I'd be really happy.
You know, that's Sacramento, Oakland. I mean,
that would be such a good
pressure release, because you know that there's a ton of folks driving to there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no doubt in anybody's mind that that's going on, because we're waving to people on 20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody's going to the Valley and somebody's coming back, and you know, you're
not right. No.
You know, it's like Nice is this gathering spot.
Yeah.
You know,
I gotta
people.
Tell you, the last time I tried going, oh my gosh, to Sacramento by air was hair-raising. Just really, really difficult.
Well, there's really no need for it.
You're hanging out in San Francisco for hours. Your flight is canceled. It's just appalling. So, yeah, I mean,
I would suspect
doing a lot of driving.
They could fill the same size plane going to Sacramento twice a day and not have much of an issue at all.
Yeah.
Even if it's just bumping off and flying out of SAC instead of out of San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, not having to do the government stuff, but you guys spend a ton of time there, and staff is going there regularly. Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's got business, actually, you know, there's a lot of business people who have to go to Sacramento for this, that, or the other reason. So I don't know. I mean, it would be wonderful, but I'm not going to look this quote-unquote gift horse in the mouth and say, no, thank you. I think it's great to have another flight. Whatever.
Now, that might be the interrogation for Greg.
Yeah.
Now about Sacramento.
Yeah,
buddy.
right. Let's get this one rolling now. And, yeah, or you know, whatever.
So that's good stuff.
No, it's good, and that's not, you know, we need to always celebrate our victories.
Now you alluded before the show that there was some discussion about homelessness.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that took up a major.
Certainly,
part of
it's not
meeting.
A unique thing for you guys and gals to have to play with. You know, it's in front of you every time you drive into Eureka. It's in front of you every time you go home. Okay, so what is the big push now? What is the concern at this point, or is this just kind of touching and seeing what the trends are?
Well, you know, it's something that we are all very, very aware of, and so yesterday's was. Brought to us by Supervisor Wilson and Bass, and the issue was, should we declare a housing crisis, a homeless crisis? And that's...
Oh, wait, those are two separate things, aren't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, and the cities did this...
A housing crisis says you don't have any housing for
yeah,
people who want
a
housing.
A homeless crisis.
That's a different thing.
Exactly. And so what it has... I mean, as you're aware, the county has gone along with the housing first approach. We already did studies into this and have come up with the housing first approach. I think yesterday's meeting was actually very, you know, it was good that we had the discussion. There were quite a number of people who spoke, took a long time. And a lot of them asked us to declare a houseless crisis, a homeless crisis. But the other ask was to form a task force. And I think that actually will be beneficial. And I think we're going to be looking at creating that task force. Myself and Supervisor Bone are on an ad hoc committee for just a few weeks to come up with the recommendations for that and whether or not we're going to declare a homeless crisis.
KINS, News and Information, Times 842. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information, Times 847. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. The concept of task force is something that's kind of intriguing, I think, for many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Task force often become or beget mm-hmm. committees, ad hoc committees, which then often beget standing committees, which often then beget government funding. And, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, you just hear the bubble in the swamp. And now it's, you know, something that's been structurally added into the bureaucracy. What is your goal? What is your sense for the task force with what you were charged yesterday?
My sense and what the way I like to think things is concrete action. Okay. Let's not set up something that's just going to sit there and talk for 3 years. Let's actually look at what a task force would be that could come up with some real solutions. And we've heard of people saying, let's declare a crisis. Let's leave that off to the side for a moment. What will that do? I know that the city of Eureka did it a year ago. I don't know what's come out of that. And I'd like to see what has happened in other places. We've heard of people declaring a crisis in San Francisco or other areas where they have a heck of a lot more money than Humboldt County does. In other words, a lot of times when you see these government declarations, you've also got a government that has a lot more resources than Humboldt County does. However,
it has a legal thing.
It's a legal thing. What it does is it lifts some of the requirements in terms of code, etc., but it also opens up other areas. So what I'd like to see is a definition of what exactly that would accomplish, what it would do, step by steps. I'd like to see that done. The other thing I'd like to see, and we've discussed this quite a bit, is that the bottom line is there is no housing, but the people who create housing is the private sector. It's not attractive for the private sector to create housing that will be demolished or destroyed or not up to code, etc.
Or just not respected.
Not respected.
And if it's
We talked about
transitional code. It's not a permanent coding. Mm-hmm. Then it has no other use.
Yeah, and so you have things like the budget end that was closed down. Well, Supervisor Bones said he actually had talked with a few developers who might be interested in redoing that, but they did not want to do it at a loss. You know, so there has to be some way to help those who actually can do it. And we looked at the potential, or we discussed briefly the potential of a trust that would help either landlords fix their homes or what have you. So I think a task force of people who are used to actually making decisions and doing things would be a good thing.
Lots of luck. Thanks, Estelle. See everybody tomorrow.